But now I invite you to think about being thankful. And we'll use just that very, very brief couple of verses in Psalm 103. It's on page 524, I believe, of our hymnals if you desire to follow along. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget His benefits. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The great Scottish preacher, Dr. Alexander White, one day was doing some pastoral visitation. And he went to the home of an elderly woman for a visit and made the mistake of commenting that she looked nice that day. Well, I don't feel nice. And he was promptly greeted with an outpouring of all her troubles and misfortunes. For 20 minutes, Dr. White sat in her home and listened patiently to her tale of woe. She told him of all her sorrows, of all her disappointments, of all her losses, of all her cares, of all her burdens. And finally, when it became apparent that he would have absolutely no opportunity to act as a spiritual advisor to this woman, Dr. White picked up his hat and gloves and made for the door, throwing back over his shoulder as he left this word of injunction: forget not all the Lord's benefits. Centuries ago, David, the sweet singer of Israel, in thinking about his life and the capacities of his soul, came to the realization that he was not as grateful and thankful as he should be. As he searched the innermost recesses of his soul, he found that he had been walking through God's wonderful world, much like a blind man who stumbles through an art gallery, seeing nothing which thrilled him and made him thankful. And David decided that he must stir up his soul to a new sense of thanksgiving and gratitude. He decided that he would not allow his soul to become dull and listless and jaded and unheeding to the wonderful benefits around him. And so he set himself earnestly to the task of rousing his own soul to a new sense of thankfulness. So he called out to his soul, "Oh, my soul, bless the Lord and forget not all God's benefits." These words from the pen of David plainly teach us that gratitude is a grace that can be cultivated. Gratitude, the spirit of thankfulness, can be developed within our souls just as surely as we can develop any grace or virtue. It's a simple matter of choice as to whether we are going to be thankful or thankless. Now, I suppose there are a lot of people who don't believe this. I know there are some who don't believe this, for I have talked with them. And they feel it is absolutely impossible for them to be in their circumstances to have any gratitude whatsoever. But David tells us that we can be grateful, and he tells us how we can be grateful. David tells us that if we want to be grateful, then we need to not forget all God's benefits. He lays it down as a principle of life that to be thoughtful is to be thankful. Only a thoughtless person is a thankless person. Any person who stops to think will inevitably thank. But that is just what we do not do so much of the time. We never stop to think of our blessings. We are continually benefiting from God's benefits. The result of this thoughtlessness is thankfulness, thanklessness. Every day we are the recipients of countless blessings from God. Because we have them every day, we come to the place where we take them for granted. We look upon them as commonplace things. We accept them as a matter of course. The very fact that these blessings and benefits and privileges are coming to us continuously and constantly make us forget that they are blessings at all. And so we come to accept them with no gratitude in our hearts. Did you ever hear the story about the day the sun didn't rise? When 6 a.m. rolled around, there was not the slightest trace of color in the eastern sky. 7 o'clock arrived. The sun should have been up well over an hour, but there was not a bit of light. 8 o'clock came, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and then it was noon, and still there was not the slightest ray of light in the sky. All the world lay in darkness. The birds didn't sing. There was no stir of life, nothing but the swooping of bats and the hooting of owls. Then came the black hours of the afternoon. When it came time for the sunset, there was no sunset because there had been no sunrise. And when it came time for people to go to bed, they did not retire. They were all wide awake. Many of them were weeping and wringing their hands. The churches were filled to overflowing with sad, doleful people who earnestly knelt in prayer. All through the long hours of the night, they waited feverishly and anxiously. When the morning hours approached, millions of tear-stained and drawn faces turned toward the east. And when the faintest touch of red began to appear over the horizon, and then when the big red ball of fire finally made its appearance, there went up a booming cry of joy, and hundreds of millions of people around the world shouted in unison, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." There was great and sincere gratitude in the hearts of the people that morning simply because the sun had risen. And why were they so grateful? Well, the answer to that question, when we think about it, is one of the strangest things imaginable. The reason the people were so grateful for the rising of the sun on this particular morning was because it hadn't risen the day before. The simple fact that there had been a break in the constancy of the blessing had made these people appreciate and be thankful for the sunrise. Now, aren't we just like that? So seldom do we appreciate what we have until we lose it. We are not thankful for our health until we get sick. We are not thankful for our youth until we become old. We are not thankful for our strength until we become weak. We are not thankful for our appetite until we lose it. We are not thankful for our friends until we lose them. We are not thankful for our money until we lose it. The late poet Maya Angelou has a chapter in one of her books on the subject of complaining. Angelou says that when whiners would come into her grandmother's store in Arkansas when she was just a little kid, her grandmother would go through this routine which would begin by quietly beckoning Maya to come closer. Then she would bait the whiner customer with, "How are you doing, Brother Thomas?" or "How are you doing, Sister Thomas?" And as the complaining gushed forth, she would nod or make eye contact with her granddaughter to make sure that she was heard what was being said. And as soon as the whiner left, her grandmother would ask her to stand in front of her. And then Maya says she would say the same thing she had said at least 1,000 times to me. "Maya, did you hear what Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so complained about? Did you hear that?" And I would nod. And Grandmama would continue, "Maya, there are people who went to sleep all over the world last night, poor and rich and white and black, but they will never wake up again. Sister, those who expected to rise did not. And those dead folks would give anything at all for just 5 minutes of this lousy weather or 10 minutes of the plowing that person was grumbling about. So you watch yourself about complaining, dear. What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is to change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Change the way you think about it." Perhaps you've heard of Viktor Frankl, Australian psychiatrist and neurologist and World War II concentration Holocaust survivor. Frankl's mother, brother, and wife were all killed in concentration camps. His mother in the gas chamber at Auschwitz, his wife at Bergen-Belsen. He survives the concentration camps and chronicles the horrors he experienced in his seminal work, Man's Search for Meaning. Maybe you've read it. And he writes, "From the darkness of a concentration camp, everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances." To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, even the horrors of a concentration camp. What we all need is to follow is the injunction of David, which he gives us in the words of his text. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits." A sense of gratitude cultivated within the soul will change one's whole outlook on life. The habit of thanksgiving is a brave and cheerful habit. It has no patience with the weak bitterness that complains that life is not worth living. It doesn't dwell on personal disappointment, but enters into the larger life of God's kingdom. The habit of thanksgiving builds character. It creates within us a buoyancy, a spirit, an optimism which can never be defeated. A young man who shunned all ease and who loved ease and shunned all effort and thus was perfectly miserable, one day called upon his wealthy uncle to see if he could wrangle some money out of him. Plaintively, he pleaded with his uncle, relating his tale of woe. And after listening to the story, the elder man said, "I am an old man and have toiled earnestly for the financial success I now enjoy. You are young and vigorous, have done little if any hard work, and are in perfect health, and yet you complain about the harshness of life. You seek my aid. I tell you what, I will grant you your wish. For instance, I will give you $10,000 right now for your strong right arm." The young man, of course, was indignant, spurned the offer. Well, perhaps then his uncle said, "You'll sell me your right eye. I'll give you $20,000 for it. Or your sturdy legs, $10,000 apiece. Right now. Or your stomach. Or your strong heart for the same amount." Well, this was, of course, more than the nephew could bear, and he slumped in his seat. And his uncle smiled and said, "Young man, you are supremely rich. You have a sound mind and a healthy body. You have youth, energy, and the promise of a glorious future. And yet you come to me complaining of your ill fortune, your lot in life, when God has so richly endowed you." To his credit, the youth was humiliated, and for the first time in his life, he realized that he indeed was very blessed, and all thought of self-pity vanished, and he then and there resolved to put his talents into active operation instead of burying them. If we just stop to think, we have to thank. Always when one is thoughtful, she is thankful. All of us are recipients of countless blessings and benefits from the hand of God. There are two ways of accepting them. We may accept them and be sincerely thankful for what we have, or we can accept them because they're still blessings and grumble and complain because we don't have more. If we would only learn to be thoughtful and thankful, we would find the things that we have are so wonderful that we wouldn't be greatly concerned about getting other things. If we would only make it a practice to take inventory of our real blessings, we would understand just how rich we really are. So let us call upon our souls, as did David, and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits." Let us pray. O God, we thank you for the blessings, so many of which we take for granted, the gift of friend, the gift of family, the gift of this fellowship. Especially we thank you for the love that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. May we never take that for granted because it is such a costly love. May we accept it with open and thankful hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.